Mine, I'm shutting.
So this is Kara, and I'm here with Tony in Eau Claire. It's June 6, 2012. Now he's going to share his story with us.
Okay, yeah, this is my coming out story. And I'm sharing it to let other married, gay, or lesbian people know that it is never too late to reveal your true self and find happiness in your life. To let their straight spouses know that there is hope for an amicable redefinition of your lives. And to prevent my children or any younger people from repeating my mistake of hiding their innermost feelings and beliefs from a spouse or future spouse. I felt attracted to members of both sexes since my teens. I believe part of it was inherited. Some men and women simply trigger my brain with a desire to be with them. Along with that, some of my same-sex attraction could be a result of my childhood. I was generally happy growing up, but I didn't have very close friendships in my teens. I craved friendship then and still crave it now. My parents got divorced when I was 11. It was a surprise to me since I didn't see them argue. My older siblings were often away from the house smoking and drinking with their friends, so I didn't witness them have normal dating relationships. My oldest brother, 22, was alcoholic, attempted suicide when I was about 12, and succeeded about a year later. Our family went through various counseling sessions. My parents eventually remarried, but those teen years were still awkward. I was uncomfortable inviting anyone to our dysfunctional house, not realizing then that every family has its own issues. I dove into my homework and solitary hobbies like biking and electronics. I regret that I did not get involved in high school sports or more social after-school activities. I gained more confidence in myself working at a scout camp for 5 summers. Away from family, I was free to be silly and sing and act around the campfire. I had unspoken crushes on some of the guys. It may have started as a craving for their friendship, but there were sexual feelings too. I lived at home through college, but I did not consider dating anyone while living there. On weekends, I hung out with a few camp friends or was alone with TV or biking by myself. I wasn't unattractive, but there were few women in my engineering classes. After college, I moved out. About a year later, I discovered community theater. What a joy it was to interact with this new mixture of people and put my camp singing skills to use again. A high school senior girl in the cast latched onto me and we dated. My first hugs and kisses felt like magic. Alas, our relationship only lasted 2 months when the girl fell for somebody else. I was crushed. A year later, I dated another girl from a different theater cast. She really clung to me. My first sex was with her. Our relationship was fun for a while, but I admit I still had gay fantasies. I let her move in with me and my roommate, knowing she wasn't a great match for me intellectually. Our personalities soon clashed. She didn't pay her share of the rent, and we had a messy breakup. I went back to graduate school and continued doing community theater. I briefly dated a few other girls, some I knew from school, and a few through newspaper personal ads. Frustrated, I got a post office box and answered a few mail-for-mail personal ads, but I didn't have the guts to follow through with actually meeting anybody. I had no clue there was a gay bar in my hometown, but I would have been scared to check it out anyway. Eventually, I gave up on trying so hard finding a mate and focused on finishing a graduate degree. One weekend, I visited an old camp acquaintance at his college in another city. He was just starting to explore his own sexuality and probably detected my feelings, and we ended up having some mild homosexual fun. I enjoyed it, but felt scared to have that experience revealed to family or other friends. If he had lived closer to home, maybe we would have continued seeing each other, but the distance, in a time before email and cell phones, was too much. I saw him briefly once when he was visiting home a few months later, but we didn't stay in contact after that. I revisited our encounter in my mind for many years. I met my wife while doing another community theater show. We grew on each other and shared common interests. As our love grew and my biological clock started ticking louder, I decided it was time to quit college and move on to family life. I pushed any gay thoughts in me down deep, wanting to just live normal. Looking back, my wife and I should have had deeper, honest discussions about religion, sex, and our big childhood issues before moving in together. Maybe we would have decided to go our separate ways, or maybe we would have decided to marry anyway, with a better understanding of each other. I got a job in a town a few hours away, got engaged and married, and began a new life. My wife got me to attend church. I rarely attended church growing up. In general, I question the magical parts of the Bible, but I know that I don't have all the answers to the universe. Still, I found that there was practical advice in almost every church service, and the stories are historically interesting. I believe in the power of self-improvement through meditative prayer and community support, at least for other people. My wife and I didn't always get along at first, but we soon figured out our personality differences and were civil to each other. Our love life was good, and we had two great kids, now teenagers. Over the years, though, the demands of the kids, lack of a good family support network nearby, workaholism, volunteerism, and my secret feelings in history slowly decreased our intimacy. We got away for an occasional weekend, but back at home fell into the same old routines. We read books and tried things like a Christian couples retreat, but we both rolled our eyes at the stereotypes of the sports-minded men and stay-at-home moms, those targeted. 8 years into the marriage, my wife felt really unhappy with our life. Clinical depression was partly to blame, but we didn't know that at the time. She moved out to get time and space to think. We talked with our church pastor, got professional counseling, and after a few months, she moved back. We discussed our lack of passion for each other, and I confessed then that I sometimes had gay thoughts, but I didn't reveal how pervasive the thoughts could be. We decided to stay together, got regular babysitters for date nights, and things indeed got better for a year or so. But again, the bedroom became a place only for reading and sleeping. I blamed it on the distraction of house projects, job changes, more kid demands, and never-ending volunteering. As our sex life dropped over time, we both substituted masturbation for physical relief. I also added infrequent internet pornography, well hidden from my wife. My wife resolved to herself that I would never be the kind of physically loving romantic man she dreamed of, but she figured that she could be much worse off, since we got along quite well as parents and roommates. I resolved that she didn't want me and was a hard person to please in many aspects, physically and emotionally. We kept busy with our lives and just didn't put romance high on our priorities. We stayed together for convenience and the kids' sake for another 8 years. At long last, however, I came to the realization that it wasn't fair for either one of us to deny ourselves the pleasure that many adults, married or single, get to experience. I was growing extremely envious of younger people we knew who seemed to have more freedom exploring their sexuality, or older couples who seemed so happy together. One day, a gay friend of ours from out of town said he was planning to visit our city with his boyfriend to see a drag show at the local gay bar. I was interested in seeing what that was about, and the anxiety within me was growing too much to bear. In the car on the way home from lunch with my wife, I worked up the courage to finally start telling her about my gay feelings, my experience before I met her, and the type of fantasies I envisioned. I didn't want a divorce, but needed to get the secrets out of my head before I did something I would regret. Knowing lots of gay friends ourselves, my wife was understanding and accepting. In a way, she was relieved, able to have one giant thing to blame for our lack of intimacy, although that is not the entire reason. We assured ourselves that we still loved each other, but my opening up left her feeling inadequate, embarrassed, and depressed. We cried a lot, sometimes together and sometimes alone. We talked in circles for months, wondering how other couples in our situation respond, wondering if an open relationship could work, and wondering about the details of separating and the effect on the kids. We stayed busy with work and volunteering. We started telling our story to out-of-town friends. My wife already knew two couples from her college who had no kids who divorced because one spouse came out. Their only advice was to take our time talking and figuring things out. My friends were surprised but supportive, glad that I trusted them to share such news. At church, I decided to try attending a men's support group for pornography and sexual addiction. I attended one of their meetings and later had a few talks with the pastor. He advised me not to confuse cravings with identity. A person who craves alcohol doesn't need to settle for a life of alcoholism. And likewise, a person who is addicted to sexual cravings can overcome them. I applaud the group for revealing how distracting pornography and sexually addictive behavior can be, teaching forgiveness, and getting the members focused back on their work and families. Still, I didn't want to pray away real feelings that I had before I knew about sex and porn. And more importantly, my wife didn't want to fight that battle alongside me. We both wanted me to be an uncloseted gay/bi person. By the way, the pastor assured me that all people are fully welcomed. All people are fully welcomed with love by that church. They have addressed the topic of homosexuality in several sermons with dignity. We met with a non-church counselor for a few weeks. She was quick to diagnose my wife with clinical depression and wanted her to start medication. My wife had known for years that depression ran in her family, but neither of us understood it or thought to seek treatment. I encourage everyone to learn about clinical depression and consider getting treatment if you or somebody you know is eternally unhappy or easily upset. She started medication and within a few weeks started to feel better and think more clearly. I also took antidepressants for a few weeks, as the uncertainty about the future kept me too worried or sobbing to concentrate. We started opening up about things with a few local friends. It was liberating to be able to talk about my socially unacceptable feelings with some other people. It became fun to joke with my wife or her gay friends about the hot guys in the mall, on TV, or on stage. I dared to venture to a drag show with a friend's birthday party group. It wasn't exactly as exciting as I expected, but at least I could say I had been there. I learned that most days it's just an ordinary neighborhood bar. Some friends I know, gay or straight, meet there regularly on quieter nights. As the second summer after my disclosure to my wife rolled around, we decided it would be fair to let each other pursue dating others. We filed for divorce, with initial plans to keep living in the same house together, although in separate bedrooms. We did not get lawyers involved in our divorce. Nobody had cheated on anybody, so there wasn't anger to fuel a debate over money, and we both are committed to our children. We made an agreement about splitting our assets, and I promised to take care of my ex financially. We told our kids what was happening in a family meeting. We didn't mention the gay thing at first, but our older child guessed that might have something to do with it from the number of gay friends we were both making. Mainly they were my wife's friends, who gave her advice. I wasn't dating anyone yet. Both kids were also told that depression was also part of the divorce. Neither one fully understood it all, but they seemed to be okay. We are extra attentive now about checking in with their feelings, ready to talk more when needed. Their generation is a lot more accepting and ho-hum about some things than ours was. We both began to experience dating, some through online websites and some with people we met elsewhere. A year and a half after disclosure, my ex decided it was time for her to move out. She found a nice house to rent with room for the kids. We each have some time to ourselves, but our primary focus in life is still on our kids. We share time with them equally with a flexible schedule. We are reasonably happy with how things are proceeding and catch up with each other often, usually when passing the kids, but occasionally over lunch or at somebody's party. My wife has gone back to church. I know I would be welcome there, but part of me coming out is declaring that I am not able to faithfully accept everything in the Bible as reality, although I hope to always be searching for answers to spiritual questions. I checked out the Unitarian Church a few times, but right now I know a group of friends who just go out for breakfast most Sundays, and that, plus my volunteer and community theater work, brings me spiritual happiness. And that's pretty much my story up until the end of 2009. And I know it's kind of church-related in there. That's because I was kind of... This is when I first wrote when I was talking to church people, but that's just how it ended. And then I listed a couple websites that my wife and I found useful as going through this process. I think the one for her that was really good was straightspouse.org. And there was one, gaychristian.net was kind of useful for a little while. There's some for parents, LGBT parents who have kids. rainbowfamilies.org, or there's a conference in Minneapolis that I went to twice. It's like the Midwest Family Equality Conference that has useful information. And then there's like OkCupid.com or PlentyOfFish.com if you want to do online dating that's reasonably respectable. So, you know, that's about all I have right now.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing with us. So, for the follow-up question, I think I'll just go through these chronologically, just kind of following the order of your story.
Okay.
So, if it's all right with you, can we backtrack to... like your formidable childhood years and like the friendships you said you were gaining or not gaining?
I think, you know, my life through fifth grade or fourth grade was pretty typical. Had, you know, there were a lot of kids in our family. So I was, you know, good friends with just the brothers that were near me in age. So that the grade school years were fine. I was kind of the one who my mom picked to take piano lessons, while my other brothers are more into fishing and, other more active hobbies or something. But I think she saw a creative side to me, and I don't know what she would have thought. I started taking piano, took piano lessons for a while, but I can't play now. It's like I took them for 5 years. I wish I could play. But I'm a more scientific person. I can calculate what the next notes are, but I can't just sight read. And my ex-wife, she's very musical, and she blames my music teacher. The piano teacher was very... she would play stuff, and I would just memorize it by ear and didn't teach me to, you know, force me to actually, like, sight read and learn how to just look at a chord and recognize that that's it. But it was... You know, as I was getting to be like fifth and sixth grade, my older brothers and the friends we had together kind of were turning into the smoking crowd. And I wasn't a smoker type. So I wasn't in Cub Scouts, but I was in Boy Scouts, which started around sixth grade. And, you know, camped with them monthly, and there were weekly scout meetings. It was a pretty informal troop. It had been around for a while, and pretty much the main point of it was just to go camping, and if you wanted to, you could work on badges, and, you know, did for a while, and then when I started working at the summer camp, it was easier, a lot easier to get badges, so I eventually did reach Eagle Scout. For those middle school and high school years, the scouting friends were kind of my closest ones. And the friends I had at school, it's like, you know, I had people who looked at me at school would have said, oh, you have a lot of friends, but away from school, I just, you know, I went home and did my hobbies and built a little electronic projects and stuff like that. I don't know what else.
Oh, that's fine.
I didn't date at all in high school. I wish I would have. They had pep rallies after school, and maybe that would have been another time to socialize and stuff, but I live within walking distance of school, so the thing to do for some people is you, like, when they had pep rallies, you went next door to the middle school and said hi to your middle school teacher, and then we just walked home. So I missed out on a lot of, like, the extracurricular activities in high school. I wish I would have gotten involved in drama or something involving women. You know? But who knows? I think a lot of people come out to women at first or their girlfriends, and... maybe someone else would have helped me recognize things back then.
Do you wish you would have came out sooner?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to regret, you know, where I am. I'm here. This is where I am. And I have, you know, things happen for a reason. I know it's a lot easier for people these days to do it. I wish we'd have had email and internet and cell phones like you guys do. But, you know, I look at some people's lives who've been out in their 20s are going through lots of drama and lots of different in and out of different relationships, and their hearts are torn. And I think, you know, by not coming out, I was able to just focus on work, and I have a decent job and, a decent career, that maybe I wouldn't have had that if I'd come out and you know, been too distracted or something. Everything happens for a reason. You know, whatever. I've dated people of all ages, so I kind of had my second adolescence and, you know, making up for some lost time, but whatever.
What do you think contributed to, like, your delayed coming out?
Mainly, I just didn't know that much about, you know, gay people other than the tiny bits of stereotypes you might see, or that, you know, they were perverts or something. As I started getting to community theater, I think there were some older people we knew who were gay, but there weren't people, younger people weren't. There was that one guy I messed around with before I got married, and, maybe I should have totally come out then, but I don't know. I just didn't think it was, I kept thinking, oh, it's just because I don't have the right kind of friends. You know, I want to be with people, or I haven't met the right kind of girl to, like, please me, whatever. And, you know, once I got married with somebody stable, then maybe things would just be fine. But I didn't, I don't know. I don't remember anything like social stigma or, you know, church stigma, like I'm going to go to hell or something like that. Maybe I feared being teased by some of my friends. They weren't, you know, none of them were like real macho people that would have teased me too bad. You know, eventually when I came out to them later, they're like, oh, whatever, big deal. So I don't know. I was just scared or nervous. You know, I did venture a little bit with, like, you know, going, you know, checking out. You had to get a post office box if you wanted to be anonymous, and maybe I should have followed through more there. But it was just scarier. I don't know. I was at the time. You know, by the time I was in college or something like that, is that AIDS was starting to be a bigger deal, and I don't know. It was just scary, and you didn't, you know, you only thought of the worst of the things. You didn't think about just two guys that liked each other hanging out together. We did know, like, people in community theater who were, you know, like, in college and about my age, and they were a couple, and but by then I think I'd already started dating girls, and I think, oh, that's the path for me, and I wasn't gonna say anything. And I don't know.
How do you think, did you grow up in the Midwest?
Yeah, I grew up in Madison. So.
How do you think that contributed to your your coming out?
Well, probably didn't see as much evidence of normal gay couples growing up like they might in San Francisco or any more populous locations. I don't know. You get more diverse crowds in bigger cities. We're all just kind of, everybody just wanted to live the normal white picket fence kind of life. And, you know, you saw my older brothers and cousins just marrying and happily ever after. That's kind of what everybody wants, but.
It seems like you had a lot of support through community theater. How has that support system, like, do you think played an effect in your coming out process?
Community theater is pretty much my only big social outlet away from work. And lately, you know, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I started working. I was working from home. Even when I was working in an office, I wasn't that close with the friends I had there. So community theater was like the one spot where we've made most of our friends. You can move to a new town and audition for a play, and suddenly you've got 20 new friends. But it wasn't, you know, I didn't suddenly feel that comfortable coming out to people, even though there were some LGBT people involved. But I don't know. They are welcoming places, and I think in general, you know, the population there are the more creative types, and so if somebody's looking for a place to to feel welcome. That's definitely a place to go. For me, it just took longer. Like this group of people that goes out Sunday mornings, they're all community theater people. There's like, I think maybe there's like one or two other friends, but it's just a small group of like eight or so people. It fluctuates, but and usually we just talk about, you know, like the next upcoming show or whatever is going on, people's families or something. It's nothing too serious. But I didn't have that until like after coming out and after we were divorcing and stuff. I didn't have those kind of friendships before. We had theater friends, and we, you know, they were common friends for both of us. But I didn't have my own independent friends, except the ones that I used to have down in Madison, which I didn't, you know, we tried to keep in contact with them for the first couple of years, but after a while it just gets to be too much distance, and you have kids, and it just, you know, takes up too much time, and you plant your roots here, and they didn't come to visit us as much as we were visiting down there. But my parents are down there still, other family, so we were down there, but usually when I go down there, it's just to visit my families. Rarely have gone to talk to other friends down there. I don't know. What else? Community theater.
You wrote a lot about your relationship with the church. Do you want to speak more about that?
As of right now, I don't go to church, and it doesn't bother me. I didn't grow up religious. My oldest siblings, I think they went to a Catholic grade school. But by the time I came around, you know, my parents had gotten tired of the Catholic rules and things like that, and I think they had started, they were part of their own little church, and I think through about fourth grade or something, I remember going to church, but it was like the kids just went in the basement and played pool while the adults met upstairs, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't learn anything about Bible stories or anything until after I got married and we moved up here, and my wife wanted to go to the church up here. When I was like in high school and stuff, I used to be probably condescending to anyone who, you know, was a real strong church person or something. But I know now that it helps a lot of people deal with life, the struggles of life, or just being able to comprehend, you know, rainbows or something like that. As you know, I know the scientific explanation of what rainbows are. But some people like to pretend that, you know, God is painting this picture and look at this what he can do for you. If you sit and pray with a group of people, then, you know, good things will start happening. And whether that's, you know, a spirit coming into your life and fixing things, or your friends and you doing it for yourself, is, you know, more likely in my mind. But I know I don't have all the answers to the universe. You know, what was before the Big Bang, and where did these physical, you know, the laws of physics come about, and why are they there, and maybe that is God. I don't know. I don't worry too much about it, though. Mm.
Do you think the churches in the area are supportive of LGBTQ?
I think most of them are. There's probably a lot of them that don't ever address the issue, and so people would be uncomfortable bringing it up. For a while, we were going to a church downtown that's pretty progressive. It had a lot of college students and has modern music. And you know, the brother of one of the pastors, I think, was gay, and they had he, you know, gave a nice talk, and, you know, was quoting little things out of the Bible, but then just saying, you know, taking stuff in context, and you know, the responses. You know, you have to respond to all this stuff in love, and different. There's no levels of sin. There's, you know, stealing a jelly bean from the secretary's desk is just as bad as, you know, anything, murder, whatever. Everyone needs forgiveness and blah blah blah. I don't know. I think, you know, there might be some churches in the area where if somebody went to the pastor, that particular pastor might, you know, steer them to abstinence. But I haven't heard too many cases like that, especially in recent years. But like, you know, this pastor that I first started talking to, I wasn't sure where I wanted to go. You know, I was kind of letting my ex decide, what do you want for us? And, you know, if you want me to just stay straight and we'll stay together or whatever, I would have been willing to do that. And this pastor would have worked on those feelings with me, kind of dealing with it like an addiction. And there are people who get over it that way, and I don't, if that's the way they want it to go, that's fine. I'm glad that my wife said, no, let's just go be out, and we'll both pursue our different paths, and, you know, it's been fun. I don't know.
And you're coming out, how it sounds like your wife has been supportive, or how has the relationship with you two been?
It's been fine. She still struggles with her own depression. I've had episodes of you know, depression, just both of us thinking, oh, we're never going to find anybody decent again. But, you know, we still talk to each other and console each other when the other's down or something. There's nobody in my life that was not supportive. There might be, there are some coworkers that I don't want to come out to. I was working for a company, and at least two of my coworkers were pretty religious, and they would talk about how bad the public school systems are and putting their kids into the religious school, and I just, like, I would never want to have that kind of, and I think that there was one time I overheard them just talk about how they just couldn't understand all, you know, everybody, or, you know, the gay thing or something like that. And this is like, this is a topic I never ever want to talk about at work. But luckily I rarely ran into them, and now I have a new job, and at least going forward, if it comes up, I can, like, come out to future coworkers as needed. If I did say something to those two, I think they might be shocked or something, but I don't think they would let it get in the way of a professional relationship, or, you know, I don't think I got fired or something like that over anything. I don't know. As long as you're a productive worker, I think it's fine. I'm just trying to think of anyone else in the, you know, there were some friends that at first, I think, you know, more friends of my ex-wife who maybe, you know, don't agree with the whole thing, or they're more church-going people, and I don't know, maybe would have thought, you know, till death do you part or something, but, you know, people divorce for all kinds of different reasons, and that's not the only reason. It's just, but they're learning themselves too, just like all of society is adjusting, and I don't know. I think the people who don't support me the most, or who kind of make me feel a little weird, is I've been dating, and there are very few people around my age who are dateable, or you know, within my, I don't know, most people who are single over 30 are often still single for a reason. So I just have been, you know, I've been dating, and I was surprised when I came out that, like, oh, there's some younger guys who don't mind, like, dating older guys. And so I have dated some younger guys. And some of them not for my own good, because the younger they are, just the less they know about what they want, and you might end up just getting your heart broken or whatever. It's just like you just can't take it too seriously. But there are some, I think there are friends of those people or other people that have seen me dating younger people just going like, oh, you're just an old pervert. You're just an old creep. And it's like, it's no different. You know, if you guys want to accept two guys dating, you should be able to accept like an older guy and a younger guy dating. It's just, if he's okay with it, and I'm okay with it, and I didn't, like, you know, coerce him or do something, you know, taking advantage of his inexperience or something like that. If everything was, you know, wide open and nothing secretive or weird, you should be able to accept that. But I think there are some people that just, I don't know, maybe it's all imaginary or something. And who knows? Or they just don't like me for other reasons. I don't know. I don't care.
How would you describe the like LGBT dating scene in the area?
It's better if you're younger. But, and then there's two different kinds. There's different kinds of dating. So there's you know, I'd love to find somebody just like me. You know, maybe they have had kids, or maybe they've somebody who's got an established career, and you know, maybe they've gone through their adolescent years and whatever. You know, I'd like to have someone to just live happily ever after with, move in with me or whatever. And that's, you know, there are some people like that around there. Maybe, I don't know. There's some people like, most of it's online. I don't like, I'm not a bar person really. I've been to the bar and I know people that go there, and if I'm bored, I'll stop there, but I don't go there to pick up people or something. Most of it's online, and yeah, like I said, like a lot of the older people in this area, they're heavy smokers. I'm not a smoker, and I'm not going to long-term date somebody who's a heavy smoker, or they're a heavy drinker, or they have other, you know, not established careers, or they're just not as physically attractive as I think I am for my age. There has to be some chemistry, and some people can argue that, oh, you're just dismissing me because of my age or something. No, it's you know, you got to have common interests and be able to maintain a conversation and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. So then I've like dated younger people, whoever. And then there are college kids here that don't mind just, oh, let's just go to dinner or hang out, whatever, maybe mess around, but I sort of had three somewhat long-term things since divorcing. Had a bunch of dumb little things that are, you know, just messing around, but like three long-term things that they were all like younger. One was college-age guys. One lasted about a year and a half, and that was fine. And we just, you know, and I was, it was more than just sex. We'd go do shows together, or be in, go see plays or see movies and hang out and whatever. But he was kind of the first person that I was kind of long term dating, and I'm like, I didn't want to settle for the first person. I wasn't going to use the L word. I wasn't going to say I love you to him for a long time. And looking back now, you know, I didn't even want to say we were in a relationship. It's like, oh, we're just dating. I don't know. But looking back now, yes, we were in a relationship. But we decided to part just because, you know, we needed to just explore other people. We were both new at, you know, kind of at the same stage of love. We both had to eat a little bit or whatever. It's like, you don't want to settle for the first thing that comes along. You got to check out the territory. And, you know, ideally, I need to find somebody older. He was in college, and he was talking about moving away when he got his degree. And so, like, what's the point of staying together forever? And so I was encouraged. And, you know, he had other gay friends. It's like, why aren't you playing around with these guys or something? And, you know, so I was encouraging him to date a little more, and I wanted to date a little more, so we like parted. And then there was like another guy I dated who you know, wasn't interested in going to college yet, and he was college age, but, you know, his main goal, he really wanted to just have a family. He wanted to have a kid in his 20s or something, and raise a family. And I thought, well, that'd be cool. You know, maybe we could be like foster parents together or something like that. And I told him about this conference thing. He had talked about, oh, maybe he'll get one of his gal pals pregnant or something like that and adopt it. But it's like, no, you learn at these conferences, it's like, it's a lot more legally complicated and emotionally complicated than all that. And then he's kind of like settled down since then, gotten more realistic about things, and I think he is planning to go to college now eventually, but that one didn't really last that long, just a couple of months. And then there was like another guy that I just started talking to, and we like chatted like online and emailed and stuff, and talked by phone for like over a month, I think. And then we met and dated for about a month and a half, and things were just fine, and we never wanted to, you know, neither one of us were going to change our Facebook status to in a relationship. It was just, we're just going with the flow, and, you know, he liked me because I made him laugh and made him smile and vice versa and whatever. But then eventually, you know, he just thought, this is, the age thing is just, we're not at the same level. And some other guy was hitting on him too, and he wanted to go date the other guy. And I was like, well, you don't have to date one or the other. You know, that's, I've been looking into reading books on stuff on just open relationships or people who don't, or, you know, you don't have to settle for the traditional pair up and no cheating. It's one of my favorite columnists or whatever is Dan Savage, and I like his YouTube videos on monogamy or on cheating or something like that, and just, you know, get over it. And there's giving your heart to somebody, and then there's just having fun or something. And I was trying to tell this other guy, you know, if you still wanted to live here while you're going to school or something, you could, but then you could still have these other friends, or maybe they move in or move out, or I don't know. It's just whatever he does, but he just wanted to have the traditional, we were in a relationship and wanted to date this younger guy, so whatever, I had to let him go, or whatever, he let me go. And I don't know, I haven't really dated anyone long term since then. I have some other friends that, you know, we'll hang out together or something, but I still have my profiles up on different dating websites, and we'll see where it goes. I just took a new job, and so right now I need to focus on that job, and of course my kids are like top priority, so I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of, maybe some people that might think I'm dateable might just look at the kids and go, no, that's just too much, I don't want to deal with that, even though they're really low maintenance. And but some people just don't like kids or whatever, I don't know.
How have your kids been through you dating?
Oh, fine. For the first guy, they didn't know very much at all that what was going on. That's like, I first started kind of dating him when we were still living in the same house together. Trying to think of that. Yeah, and it was like 3 months later that my wife moved out, or we had divorced by then. But I still, you know, since we had the kids, you know, we trade off how often we have the kids, so every couple of days we just pass them, so we get like every other weekend belongs to you and versus kids. So like I would just do stuff on when the kids weren't here or after they were asleep or something like that, because this other guy worked late, so the kids would be in bed by the time he was done with work. So if I met up with him later or something, kind of kept it secret for a while. But then after a while, it's like, oh yeah, he can come over, he's just a friend coming over to go boating or you know, go to a movie with us or whatever. So they didn't think about anything then when it was just kind of that thing. But then, oh, like maybe by the second guy I was kind of dating, he lived far enough away that he didn't always want to drive all the way home at night, and so he slept over here. And at first, we'll tell the kids, he was on the couch and I wasn't here, he didn't, you know. But then eventually it's just like, never mind, they're gonna deal with it, you know. People deal with their own parents, you know, they must know, but they just don't think about it, right? You know, your parents are messing around maybe, but you just don't think of it. So never, they haven't complained. And they, you know, they know I've kissed guys, whatever, but hopefully they don't think of it any more than I thought about my own parents when I was their age. You know? Neither one is dating now. I sometimes worry that, like, my older son seems a lot like me, as far as you know, just kind of sticking to solitary things when he's not at school. But he does do a lot more at school than I did. He's into other activities. I sometimes worry that they're going to come back, you know, 5-10 years from now and just say, you messed me up. I couldn't even think about dating, you know, or he wouldn't want to bring somebody. I mean, they have had people over here, so I think I more didn't want to have people over at my house growing up just because I had too many brothers and I was always fighting with my brothers and I don't know. I don't think I felt uncomfortable because my parents were fighting or something like that or divorcing kind of stuff or we were the house where there was a suicide. I think it was more just I hated my brothers and there wouldn't have been anything to do there anyways. Other brothers have been hogging the TV or I don't know what. I didn't know how to socialize normally in high school. But anyways, getting my kids, blah, blah, blah. My younger son he's more nonchalant about everything and I don't think anything will bug them. I'm going to worry about them, but I used to worry just tons about, you know, what's it going to be like when we divorce? We waited until summertime before we told them that we were going to divorce, just in case it freaked them out. We didn't want to ruin their grades or anything, and as far as we can tell, it hasn't hurt their grades. Their kids are more resilient than you think. I think they're not sharing with all their friends, oh yeah, I got a gay dad. They don't. If it came up, I think they would say something. Maybe if some other kid came out to them, they might bring it up. Oh yeah, but I don't think they're going to go out of their way to say anything. I don't think there isn't a real gay straight alliance group at the high school that I know of, and neither one I don't think would be interested in starting one on their own. But no, we're just trying to live. You know, when I'm with them, I'm just the dad or whatever. We just help them with homework or whatever hobbies they want to do. Go boating or help my older kid get a job. Yeah.
Have they told any of their friends about their parents?
They told their friends that we're divorced. I should ask them whether any of their close friends know that I'm gay. I should ask. I don't think they've said anything like that. I know that some of the friends my older son's age know I'm gay, but they're not like really close friends. There's one about my older son's age who I knew he was going to come out. Back when they were, my son and this other kid were doing shows together, and some other kids have done some shows together, and I was just coming out, you know, I knew I was going to be coming out myself, and it's like, eventually this kid's too, and it was just like awkward being, you know, in plays with this kid at the same time, and I don't want to bring up something that, you know, because maybe he won't want to be gay or whatever, and eventually, you know, he came out, but I think like that kid knows, and you know other friends of these other people I've dated, but not. I don't know. I'm waiting for the day when one of my son's friends, you know, says, "Hey, look at this, you know, personal ad that's on a website here of your dad or something like that." Mm-hmm. And in general, I don't think people are going to look at dating sites like that when they're that age or whatever. But it might happen someday. You know, I'll just be like, yeah, that's the way things are. I was actually thinking about my older son. I want him to have the ability to, like, you know, I think there are, I don't know, I kind of do what I don't, I kind of just want to tell him, like, okay, here's my life, and these are, you know, I go on these dating websites sometimes, and, you know, this is where I met, like, this person or whatever, and I want to open up more to him, but I also don't want to mess him up. And, you know, part of me is like wishes that I would have dated more when I was younger, but then part of me I'm glad that I didn't have the distraction of that younger, and I don't want to, you know, don't want to mess up my own kid, or don't want to pressure him into dating if he just doesn't feel like it. You know, I think he's doing fine, and I'd rather have him hear about these websites from me than to have some friend tell him, because you know some of them are getting his age, and I've seen, oh, there's some, but usually they're people are discreet, or at least, you know, unless my son comes out or something like that, it's, you know, he just wouldn't find out, or I don't know. I just, at some point, I just can't worry about that. They're doing fine, and I don't know. I don't want to embarrass myself, but don't want to embarrass them either.
How do you? Sorry. Go.
No, I don't know. That's all.
Okay. Do you feel like the younger generation is more open?
Oh yeah, it's there. Every once in a while, there's some younger person who maybe has had too much brainwashing or something from somebody, but definitely the younger crowd just knows a lot more, or just doesn't think it's that big a deal. I think in general, though, I mean, like, some kids treat sex like it's nothing, but, you know, I've come to realize it's like, you know, it is, it still is something. Once you start messing around with somebody, if it continues and you start getting chemicals going on in your brain, dopamines and things that like make you want to do crazy things and be with them no matter what, even no matter how wrong the relationship is, you know, if it's somebody who's way too young to be dating, it's like, but like you both have got these chemicals going, like, oh, he's perfect guy or something. So I do want to still like encourage my kids not to treat sex too casually. But, you know, I also don't want them to be so totally afraid of themselves, of their own bodies or whatever, to be paranoid of dating or having sex someday, safely or whatever. So there's a balance there. I know. I want to be open enough with them, or want them to be comfortable with themselves, but also don't want them to be turning into super tramps or something. You know, want them to be safe, not, you know, just physically safe and healthy safe, but also just safe with their minds so that they can stay focused on other life purposes besides, you know, having fun. There's more to life than dating and sex and stuff, like, especially as you're younger. It's just, you need to form your career first in these, you know, your early 20s and stuff. Don't worry so much about the rest, you know. If you're going to have fun, but, I don't know, be careful with how much of your mind or something. I always hate watching like some of these theater friends that are still in high school or middle school, and it's like, in a relationship, out of a relationship, in a relationship, out of a relationship. It's like, come on, just don't bother with that kind of thing, you know. I don't think I'm going to put that on there until I'm like actually living with somebody. It just doesn't make sense, and why do you have to advertise it anyway, you know?
Do you feel like schools in the area, like the schools your children attend, like, teach about LGBTQ issues?
I think so. They probably don't get into too much depth. I think they have to be careful what they say, even at the public school level. I think there was something that happened, like, about a year and a half ago. There was a middle schooler who committed suicide, and some people thought, you know, he probably might have was going to come out someday. I think he was too young to decide for himself. But, you know, some people, you just know, maybe. And people knew that he was being bullied or being teased, but being called gay by some people, because he was a little more out there as far as his creativity, and he wrote music and stuff, and people knew about him, so maybe people just said that was really gay or something. And I'm sure they addressed, you know, I think they are addressing bullying quite a bit without putting the LGBT stuff on it. As a parent, I haven't really seen much, like, in newsletters from the schools or something like that, from the schools that say, hey, if you think your kid is LGBT, here are some resources for you. You know, there's a youth group that meets downtown on Thursday nights or something, or, you know, here's where you can get free sex supplies or something. I don't know. Here's a good book. This Ready or Not You're Gay book that you might consider reading. I'd like to see that maybe, but I don't know if that's, you know, if somebody puts something like that in a newsletter, then somebody else is going to complain. You're trying to promote these kids, you know, promiscuity too young or something. Because I think there was going to be a bullying talk, something about cyberbullying or just bullying in general, at the middle school that they told us about, told parents about if you wanted to attend this thing. I thought about attending and then bringing like a sheet of these resources, the different, that youth group or other. There's a Facebook group, and then there used to be kind of a more active LGBT center in town, but it's right now I think it's kind of defunct. But I don't know. In general, I think the schools are doing a pretty good job, but you don't want to force the issue too much. Most people are still like talking about this stuff with their friends, and you kind of are gonna anyways because you're embarrassed to talk with your parents about it, or I don't know. It'd be nice. I think they could afford to send stuff just to the parents. But I think there was somebody else who was talking about wanting to start. Yeah, there is no real gay straight alliance at North. The teachers there would be supportive if somebody wanted to start one, but it has to be students that start it up and maintain it. And I think there's one at there's two big high schools in town. I think there's one at one high school, but not at the one my kids attend. And you know, you have to think, well, is there really a need for one? You know, I think there's a counselor that's willing to work with, you know, be the overseer of it and stuff. But with the openness of Facebook or talking, being able to talk to people privately online and stuff, it's not quite as necessary as in the past. But there's, you know, I know there are some kids that go to this smaller Q2 group or whatever they call it, on Thursdays, and it's just a place where they can just be themselves. But I don't know, like, my own kids wouldn't know about that, I don't think. I don't think they've ever heard about it. Maybe if they brought it up to me, then I could. But I worry about, like, the random ninth grade kid who, you know, his parents don't know anything, and they don't do community theater or whatever. Where would he find that? But maybe he just gets along through high school, and then once he gets to college, he'll find out more. I think in colleges, I think, are better at advertising things, or kids can be more daring once they get out of their parents' house to start online dating or whatever they want to do.
What resources are available in the area?
You can do a search for like Chippewa Valley LGBT or something, and it might pull up this web page of the center, which used to exist, but it used to exist as a they used to meet like every Thursday and Sunday at a room in a church downtown, and I went there once and it was just kind of, oh, okay, I guess wasn't for me. But it was a place where people could go. I think, you know, anyone can talk to their school counselor or church counselors or something like that. There's the AIDS Resource Center, I think, where people can get free AIDS testing and free condoms if you really need that. I don't think that kind of thing is advertised in the schools. What else is there? They have a pride event in town every year. They've been trying to do that for a while, but it doesn't seem to be advertised outside of the LGBT community. So if you're somebody looking for somebody to talk to, you wouldn't know about this thing because it's just a picnic at a park or something, and it's not advertised in the newspaper. And maybe they need to do more of that. Occasionally you'll see a story in like the Volume 1 magazine is the newspaper up here. It's kind of like the entertainment one, and they do feature articles on occasional LGBT related things. You know, there's one one older drag queen in particular who I think is trying to be a real advocate for things, and she's in there pretty regularly. I don't know, what other resources are there? I think that the people who wrote that book in town, that Pretty or Not They're Gay, I think they try to do book signings and stuff, but I think they do a lot up in the Twin Cities too. And there's one gay bar in downtown, that it's just a bar. They have a bulletin board occasionally, some stuff gets posted there, but not a lot. I like to think that being one of the, an older LGBT person, that we need to be the resources for everybody. And I try to be, on Facebook I have it listed as, I'm interested in men. And I worried about that for a long time, whether I should put that on there, but it's like, no, as other kids from shows or something like that friend me on Facebook or something like that, they can see that I'm there, and if they wanted to have somebody to talk to. And I've run into people online, younger people that talk to me, and like, that's all I want to be, is we're just, I'll help you talk and mentor you through something, and maybe point them to that Q2 group where you can talk to people your own age, and or advise them on other issues or something. There's some younger guy I know who's like just graduating high school and he's getting married. He's already dating somebody. They're already calling each other's fiancés and things. And we'll see where that goes. But he's just like head over heels. But he's like just came out and it's like, oh, whatever. But younger people just have different dreams than older people.
How would you describe the LGBTQ community in the area?
Oh, it's pretty. I mean, there are groups. I don't think it's like super cohesive. I was surprised when I first talked to some people. It's like, oh, you don't know this person? Like, lives right down the block from you or something. But don't all you gay people know each other or something? And like, no, not really. In a way, you might know some people who are gay, but you don't know them personally. Or, you've met them, you've seen them online once, and then you blocked them. It's like a... there are... it just is. I know there's a group of businessmen, I think, that run some businesses downtown, and I kind of know that they're LGBT owners, but I haven't, haven't really hung out with them much, or they don't know me really. There's the college crowd, people that are just, here for while they're going to college, they go away, and there's people that college crowd that is away for college, but then they're here during the summer and they hang out with their friends or something. You don't hear much about there are older couples that are just dating and happily roommates, and they don't make a big deal out of their sexuality, and it's not a big deal. There's some people are really inviting. There's one guy in Chippewa who's regularly he holds like a big Christmas party at his big house and stuff, and I kind of been introduced to some other people there, and he's just doing it just out of hospitality and stuff. In general it's a real LGBT crowd, but it's a mixture too, or allies. There's some scary people that are just here to use people or use kids or something like that, and they'll say whatever to get you, and people to there's people that are hooked on drugs that or hooked on alcohol, that like you might want to avoid those people for anything. But I could be saying all the same stuff about the straight community. You know, it's blah, 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 blah. You know, there are straight people that are hooked on drugs. Stay away from this part. You know, it's not very visible, getting a little more visible. You know, my main point of coming out is to let other married guys or lesbian people know that it's never too late. And part of that, you know, is some of that's like, okay, maybe I'll find a future spouse that way, but it's, but also just to help, you know, maybe not. It's just to let people know that, you know, to be fair to your spouse and to be fair to yourself, it's you know, it's not too late to work through the issues. It's going to take some time, you know, when these other people just had no other advice than just take your time and talk and talk, because you can't, it's like you're not going to get over it in a day or a year or something. It takes a while to accept for yourself and for other people to just get used to you now. And most people just look at me the same, I think, with the theater people and whatever.
How do you describe your relationship with the LGBTQ community?
My relationship? I mean, I guess I'd like to be involved in it more, you know, to help other people, you know, especially younger people who want to. I don't want anyone to repeat my mistake, so I want to be available and kind of known. I also don't want to embarrass my wife and kids, so I don't want, you know, don't want to be too crazy. You know, I like being online and chatting with people that just want to chat or whatever. Get my presence known. But you know, I'm right now I'm not willing to sit at you know, some downtown festival at a LGBT table passing out brochures or something. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not quite yet. I don't know. I'd like to see that happen. With somebody else who's a little more brave, and I'll buy the brochures or something like that. But, and I don't know what I'm worried about. I guess, you know, maybe one of these. What am I so worried about? Just running into former coworkers or something like that that just look at me funny. But I don't know. I might look at them funny too if they were at the pom pom table for their daughter's, you know, dance squad or something. I don't know. It's just, I wouldn't want it to cost me a job someday if there happened to be a manager at some place that, you know, secretly was against gay people or thought, you know, I wouldn't be able to concentrate on his work because I'm too focused on this thing. But I don't know. In general, I get along with it. I wish I had, you know, one stable partner. But that takes time, and I'm thinking when my kids get go off to college, if you know that's like 5 more years, I might go move somewhere else where there's a bigger, better population or bigger population that matches my demographic. You know, and I'll stay online and available and you know, be friends with people, but. You know, I've tried dating like people in the Twin Cities, but it gets to be too long of a distance. You know, we can be Facebook friends, and you know, maybe I'll go see a show up there once in a while, and we can go to a show or whatever. But you know, if they have an established career there, they wouldn't want to move here, and I'm not going to leave my kids. You know, even if my ex-wife wasn't in the picture for some reason, I still wouldn't want to take my kids away from their friends here. Just for the sake of finding someone to marry or something like that. It's like, you know, I can deal with getting them through high school in with their friends here. I did take a new job, but I, you know, for the last couple months I was unemployed, and it's like, oh, where am I going to get a job? And I'm an engineer, and there aren't too many engineering jobs around here. I was telecommuting for one big company, and now I ended up getting another job where I can just work from home for another company. But I was worried that, oh, okay, this might be the thing that prompts me to have to sell and go move somewhere. Or maybe I just downsize and go work retail or something like that. I know one, there's a friend of mine, he's a little older, but he also has a kid, and he came out about the same time I did. I think he was scared for many years. He divorced maybe 5 or 8 years before I did. And we both have done community theater, and we're friends and all. And once he saw me come out, he decided it would be safe for him to come out too. I think, you know, he saw that I wasn't going to be too worried about my kids and stuff. And so he decided, you know, he'd come out to his ex-wife and his kid. And I think, you know, where was the question? I forgot. He ended up not getting a job in his field or where he was, or he was having trouble keeping whatever kind of work he was doing before, but he ended up, you know, he wants to stay in town, be near his kid, so he got a couple jobs doing retail, and you know, the kids are the top priority. It's just, I always looked back, you know, and think, yeah, you know, I could have come out earlier, and I could have had, you know, one really great boyfriend, or I could have had a million other boyfriends or something like that. But I think when I'm 70 or 80, you know, looking back on my life, I think, you know, having kids is still going to be the biggest reward. You know, having kids and, you know, and the various shows I did, I think that's my big rewarding thing. But now I'm trying to teach, you know, the younger kids that just because you're gay or LGBT, you can still have a family. You can still, you know, dream of a white picket fence and raising a bunch of kids. And, you know, maybe I'll foster parent someday with the help of somebody else or who knows what. But, you know, looking forward to being a grandparent someday.
Do you think there's stigma attached to being gay and raising children?
I hear about, I haven't had personal experience with it. You know, I see stuff online of, you know, Million Man March or whatever, Million Moms or something like that. The Million Moms, yeah. Whatever. Fighting against gay marriage, and it's just like, people, they're already, you know, married in their eyes or married in God's eyes, whether they're legally married or not. And people can, you know, get around that, writing your own contract to allow yourselves visitation in hospitals and things like that. If you think about it, you know, you can write up your own marriage contract. You just can't enjoy like the tax benefits. But I think they should just get rid of the marriage tax benefits anyway. Just whether you're married or straight or married or gay, it's just, you know, why do you get a break for, I don't know, it's a long history of where these tax laws have evolved, and you know, I think they need a different word. I wish you could just bring up a new word, because everyone freaks out about marriage. You know, marriage, let's just let the churches own that word, come up with a new word, union or something like that, and everything, you know, that law-wise that you want to recognize for people who are living together and are more stable, productive members of society by being in a union, you know, give them tax breaks, whatever, and then you won't upset the church people as badly. But I don't know, they're coming around. If you just, as more of them die off, then, you know, it's taking time. They, you know, they're doing a good job training their kids, but more of their kids are, you know, breaking away, and it's just 100 years from now it'll be different. Or people will look back at these eras like we do against segregation and everything else.
How do you think the area, like this town, is in supporting like issues of gay marriage or gay adoption?
When I see it on my Facebook friends list, you see people posting different things about stories around the country. I don't see it in the elsewhere in the public, in the newspapers, there big stories there on TV, but I don't watch the newspapers and TV that much. I know some lesbian couples that have kids. I don't know if I know some gay couples that eventually want to adopt or something, but right now they don't want to. I know that, I'm sure like the Unitarian Church wouldn't care at all if they wanted to have some kind of dedication celebration there for, they probably have, I haven't been there very much, for some couple that wants to adopt a kid or whatever, whether they're gay or straight. But I don't know. I'm for it. I don't know. Yeah, I gotta go do a poll or just find out what this community thinks. It's slowly changing. But yeah, they interviewed that one main drag queen guy, D. Lovely, and he had some video interviews because I think one of the local stations did kind of like a 5-day story about LGBT issues in the area. Like a 5-minute story per day spread across a week, and those are online, and then you could see some of the comments that some of the people would write on, and some of them were not so nice, and most of them I think were supporting. But some people don't have anything better to do than just, I don't know. And who knows where these comments were coming. They might have been not even from the area. Around, the friends I know, I think, all support things. Even the conservative coworkers that I have or had had in the past, I think they would be comfortable knowing that, they might just, I don't think they'd be against anything. As long as they see that you're a nice person and whatever.
How do you see the town or even the Midwest fitting into like the national gay movement?
Yeah, I'm sure we're behind the times on things. The bigger cities I think are more ahead, like Madison and Milwaukee. When I first moved to this city in the early 90s, it seemed like a lot more conservative than Madison. But as I've been here more and done more theater and stuff, or gotten to know that crowd more, it's like, it's probably I'm sure it's still way more conservative. But most of my friends are on the liberal end of things. How we compare nationwide, I don't know. I more compare like small city versus big cities. It's some are more accepting than others.
Would you like to be in a big city? You talked about relocating to maybe the cities?
Yeah, mainly for, just to get out of yard work and stuff when the kids get done boating or something. I would never be able to get I'd love to have this house in a big city right now or something, but I don't think I could ever get this kind of deal. This is like an older house remodeled or something, and I was able to get a good deal on it, but like in a bigger city, I wouldn't be able to afford it probably. But as I get older, I think, maybe I'll just go move into some condo somewhere in Minneapolis or Phoenix or some bigger city that has more dating opportunities, more dating prospects in my age range. I think there's plenty to do around here, I think, as far as events and arts and culture and sports and every once in a while we're close enough to the Twin Cities, so if there's a touring theater show or sports event or something like that people want to see, you can zip up there, but the cost of living here makes up for it. And but mainly, yeah, just better dating prospects, or maybe move to where one of my friends from Madison ended up or something. or just for variety. I don't know. Maybe I want to just go move somewhere, some big city or some small city, just to live there for a year or 5 years or something, and move on to another city. Because right now I can telecommute, and it doesn't matter where I live. South America or something. Like that. I
don't know. This is backtracking a little bit when you're talking about different jobs that you have. Do you worry about job discrimination?
I do. I don't know how real it is. It would never be blatant. It's more like, I got laid off from my last job in March, and it's a matter of, they laid off like 2,000 people across the company. So they have spreadsheets to figure out, what's this person doing? What's their salary? What's their future? What's coming along in future projects? Are we going to be able to utilize him or not? And I wasn't being utilized for the last year on my strengths. I was doing some other stuff and just wasn't a good match and starting to get back into being utilized. But anyways, I got laid off, and part of it was being a remote worker too. You're just not in the manager's face all the time. But part of me thinks in the back of my head, I have from my computer, gone to websites or something like that during the workday, and maybe they have secret, they could have spy software, but they wouldn't tell you about it. And I don't know if I should go off record this or not. but they. My immediate boss said he didn't really have much say in it. It was kind of like at higher levels. And, I wonder, did it ever get back to somebody? This guy might be visiting certain websites too much. And it's not like porn stuff. It's like just dating websites. But then I think, if somebody ever, I thought if somebody ever challenged me on that, they should have brought it up to me or something. But they never did, and if I would have argued that, I bet you this other coworker of mine goes to his fantasy football site just as much or something. It's not work related either. As long as you're getting your work done, I don't think they cared. But part of, back in my mind, is worried, somebody somewhere, is keeping track, or somebody just, or one of these other coworkers that's, if they ever became a manager and they're extra conservative kind of person, they might not want to promote you to a higher level, or maybe they would look for an excuse. Let's get rid of him first. I don't know. I don't put it on my resume or anything. I don't even, even as I was interviewing for this and stuff, you don't want to hint that you're divorced or hint that you have kids or anything. You leave family stuff out of it. Only talk about what you've done for work. But yeah, so job discrimination. In my profession in general, I know that people who are out generally don't have issues with it. If you're, there are tons of programmers and stuff like that that don't have a big deal with it. I like to worry, though. I worry about lots of stuff.
So this is backtracking a little bit, but what has been your relationship with mental health and your sexuality?
As I was coming out, I just had lots of high anxiety, and deciding, as we're going through the divorce, there's anxiety levels that I want to be able to turn this off so that I can concentrate on work or just give time to the kids and not be crying or something like that. So I had periods of depression and anxiety. We went to this counselor, non-church counselor for a while, a couple times together and then a couple times separately. And I know that my my employer pays for like 6 visits per year for any incident or something like that, free. Whether I could afford it or something wasn't really an issue. But anyways, I talked to her. We went through like the depression inventory things, and I'm like borderline on a lot of these things, or there were some days where I just couldn't function. Eventually, I did go see like a regular doctor to get prescription for some antidepressants, and tried those for about a month, and I didn't like them after a week, or even after a couple of days. It's like I was too tired during the day and too awake at night, and my stomach didn't like them, and so I stopped taking them, and I still have had periods where there might be a morning where I just need to just cry out loud. No one's around here. If I just cry out loud, I get it out of my system, and then I'm usually better, and go get back involved in something. Now that I'm got started back again on work, I think those episodes will be fewer and fewer or something. And now more time has passed since that last got dumped by that other guy. So that's, but I don't think it causes me really mental health issues. My ex is still taking medications for some stuff, but that's, I don't think it's not a sexuality thing for her. I don't know. I know there are. I've run into other people that are, mentally need some help, or some of that has to do with their income level, or just always being stressed about, their future and stuff, other stuff, other anxieties. But we all go through periods of highs and lows. I didn't have lows like I've had, since coming out during my years of marriage. I don't think I ever had those, super crying, really hard kind of things. The first thing was like when we first moved into this house, I was like the first real episode where I couldn't stop crying. We moved in here, and it was just the stress of tons of little projects that needed to be done, tons of things we didn't find out until we moved in here and realized, all this needs fixing, and this furnace is broken, and that room was just empty and cold. We moved in the coldest day of the year and coldest spell for like a whole month spell. It was like below zero for a long time, and I just was just anxious about that. It had nothing to do with sexuality or anything like that. It was just like, oh my God, this is way too much. And I don't know if it's the middle age thing or what, but it was just like, I can't think straight. I'm just like crying for some dumb reason, and I gotta go to work or go do something. But anyways, I don't know. But I guess the highs I've had since being out have made those occasional lows worth it, I guess. I'd love to find one stable person and just have like the constant constant thrill or whatever, but I'm still gonna keep dating and experience different stuff. What else mental health are you going on?
Let's see. Also, this is backtracking to something mentioned earlier in your story, but were you in this area during the AIDS crisis?
No, I was in Madison area.
What was the response then, or how do you remember the AIDS crisis?
I was just, probably high school and something, and just like, don't have sex or something. I probably didn't think too hard about it. I just, people who were gay or people who had sex were, you're going to get AIDS if you have sex, or especially if you aren't safe about it or something. But, there was just a it was just like the high school stigma or great, you know, the middle school mentality about, oh, you're gay, you're AIDS, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really connect with real people that had it. You know, I think some celebrities started getting it maybe in the later 80s or something, but I didn't really care by then or whatever. I figured, the cures are coming, and I didn't know people personally. I did go to one thing here maybe a year ago or a year or more or so. Like at the Unitarian Center, they had like an AIDS Memorial Day or something like that. And so some people talked specifically about people they knew that died of AIDS. And there was I went to the funeral of a friend of mine who, his partner, or a partner he used to know, I think, died of AIDS, and he was kind of in charge of running the funeral. I think that guy had lived in New York for a while. But back, in the 80s, I don't remember too much about it. I know now that, like, okay, you know, you have to worry about stuff, but it's not as prevalent as I thought it was. You know, they made it back then you would have thought, hey, everybody got AIDS or something, or you're taking your life in your hands. And now I know it's like, you know, it's in general, you know, 90% of the people are safe, or whatever, 99%. See, you know, you still play safe, but in general, most people are healthy. And I know, but there, you know, there are some people around here that have their status listed or on websites. And you know, I don't talk to them. Like, oh, and that's, is that bad for me? Probably. But I would talk to them, like, if we were doing a community theater show together or something like that. I'm not going to go out of my way to start dating somebody who's put their status like that. That, you know, is that mean of me to do? Or, you know, I don't know what, maybe I don't know enough about it, or how easily, you know, I don't know. I could research some more, but right now there's like enough other people that, you know, they can date each other, or I don't know. I feel bad about it, but, you know, it's, whether it's AIDS or anything else, I think somebody else is like, oh, there's dating websites for people who have herpes or other sexually transmitted diseases. And, you know, I think the best way to meet somebody is like, you're doing something together, you know, doing shows together, or you just are involved in some other activity together, and then you start knowing each other, then you start to maybe think about dating. When it's on a website and you can pick and choose, okay, well, that's different. It doesn't always lead to the best relationships, or sometimes it does, but it's a different world there, you know. Ideally, we'd all, you know, run into, be getting out in the neighborhood enough, and everybody knows everybody, and people network, and, oh, why don't you get to date this person? Oh, you guys have great, you know, common interests and things. And, oh, you strike up this common interest, and oh, and then later you find out, oh, yeah, he's got some disease, but you like him so much anyways that maybe you work around it or whatever. One of you can play while the other one doesn't. I don't, you'd play with different friends, but you live together and love each other. Who knows? I don't know. It's like,
what changes would you like to see for the future?
Oh, just nationwide. I want people not to make a big deal out of who sleeps with who. You know, in the government and in churches, it's just, you can still preach that sleeping around is may not be healthy or stable for you, or, and cheating is definitely not, you know, polite or good for you. You know, want AIDS to go away, or want all STDs to go away, but it'll be, just everybody be nice. I don't know. I want to live forever, but I can't. I don't know. No, actually, I don't. I don't know. It's, you know, I want people to feel comfortable with themselves when they realize what they want to do in life. and feel comfortable, you know, going one way and maybe coming back. Maybe it's like, maybe you just mess around a little bit and decide, no, I don't want to do that. I still want to get married. And I know people that I think have done that, that they still want to get married. Oh, yeah, they still want to marry a woman someday, but well, they're just messing around now in college or something. And as long as you tell your wife what's going on, I want them to feel comfortable enough, or I want society to feel comfortable enough that, oh, yeah, when I was in college, I messed around. And she can take that into consideration, and you can all get tested, and you can all, you know, measure whether you're going to stray some more in the future or not, or and at least have a, you know. So as long, the more out it is, the less likely you're going to have somebody who just stays closeted and then surprises come up later. What other changes? I don't know. But just like, yeah, make gay marriage easy, or and then, you know, if you're very, very against it, then get rid of, you know, tax breaks for married people too. It's make adoptions easier. I don't know. What else? Just let, you know, just stop bullying with any kind of bullying. Just let people be the way they want to be, and I don't know.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Do you mind if I chime in a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to start from the get-go because I've been making notes here and there. Did you come out to anyone else in your family?
Yeah.
Your whole family?
My whole immediate family and, you know, by word of mouth, I think cousins and everyone else knows. It was, I'm trying to think, I didn't come out to my parents. My, you know, parents live in Madison. Most of my siblings live there. And so I didn't come out to them until I announced that we were divorcing.
Okay.
Because we weren't sure what all was going to mean. Maybe it just meant, you know, maybe I would just be allowed to play with somebody else once in a while and we would just keep it all quiet, or you know, it's nobody else's business. But Jenny, we both wanted to just go, like, officially go out public and date other people, so but there was no need to. But by then it was, you know, definite. I did talk to one of my sisters early, maybe 6 months prior to that. You know, kids are still in school and stuff, and it's like right at the beginning of maybe going to some other counselor, or before, I think it was before I had started going, before we decided to go see this other counselor. There was just one day, it was a weekend, and was this after she moved out? I don't know. It would have been before she moved out. I think I just had to, like, call my sister up. I needed to talk to somebody. I was too anxious, and I think by then I had already talked to the people out of town that I talked to was just by email. And then there was one older gay couple in their 60s by now, I think, that I talked to on a Sunday where I just had to talk to somebody, you know. And then, and they, you know, their experience is a lot different than mine. One of the guys was married and had kids, but I don't know, maybe I didn't feel comfortable talking with them, or you know, they just mostly just let me babble, and I didn't want to get too inquisitive with them. But there was a different time, yeah, like maybe 6 months prior, I opened up to one sister, and she lived in a different city, but just kind of talked to her on the phone, and she met with us, you know, maybe like a month later. She went to lunch with my ex, meeting in a city nearby, and then maybe another couple weeks she met with me, and she was going through her own stuff with her marriage. But then eventually, like, yeah, that after we told the kids, and we'd already been talking to some of the people up here, I went to Madison. I had like a shorter letter and just kind of said that, you know, that I was, you know, we were divorcing, but we're still friends, and I'm coming out too. And there, my mom was just, they weren't shocked or anything. My mom was more worried that I was doing something too fast, but not knowing that this has been like a year and a half already of talking and counseling and stuff like that. And because I think she divorced for a while too, and maybe she maybe said too much to some other people and wished that, you know, they would have just kept it to themselves and whoever their counselors were or something. But like nobody, and at the same, that same weekend, I, you know, went to my brother's house, and most of my other brothers are going to be there too, because a different brother had come home. I don't know, there was some other reason to be there, and so I was there, like, told them, and they're like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And I think people could see that, like, my ex and I weren't getting along that great anyways. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I don't know, they didn't see her that much, or so it wasn't, maybe the divorce part wasn't the big surprise, maybe the other part was a slight surprise, but not that much. Oh, he's in community theater, he's gay. I was like, I don't know. I wish they would have told me, or somebody, or these other people. I think there were other people that knew when I was younger. In my middle school, they had, for all your academic subjects, English and social studies and stuff, that you had the same teacher for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and you had 6th, 7th, and 8th graders all in the same class, and then you had that same teacher for 3 years. He just recycled in new 6th graders, and so you got pretty close with that teacher, and then at the end, I remember like the last day, the teacher wrote like a little notes for everybody, and something on mine was something like, you know, don't be afraid to march to the beat of your own drummer. She knew that I was different, or I didn't, you know, wasn't just a crowd follower, and she probably maybe would have suspected something, or probably could have predicted that maybe I'd be gay, but she wouldn't have been allowed to just say that, you know. I think I remember reading somebody else's case story where, like, yeah, the teacher slipped me this one book about, you know, Perks of Being a Wallflower or something like that, where there's, like, an obviously gay character in there, and maybe if my teacher had slipped me some book like that, you know, oh, yeah, or I don't know. Or just, you know, something like that. I don't know. Anyways.
You said that while you were going to school, and the reason... part of your like delay in coming out was because you didn't know much about gay people. Was that not really like prevalent while you were going to school?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not in middle school or high school. I think, you know, I think there were two kids in my class who I now know came out, and they were, you know, I never. I don't know if I wouldn't have guessed it. You know, maybe they were the kind of people you would have, you know, they were a little more effeminate or something. And they were like artsy types, but I didn't know much about any straight sex going on, rather, or gay sex, or just feelings or whatever. I was so out of that. I'm trying to think, like, you know, who was gay when I was in high school? Liberace was gay. Okay, you know, that's the stereotype. Or, you know, scary leather wearing people, you know. Or, I think, you know, and then in college, like my 4 years of under, I lived at home, so I still wasn't getting much exposure to, you know, gay life. I think eventually, maybe towards the end of college, I knew that there was some kind of gay bar, West Washington or something like that. We used to go listen to some band downstairs, or Lou and Peter Berryman, like these folk singers, Wisconsin folk singers. They got some funny songs. They'd play down there, and like upstairs was the gay bars. Oh, I didn't go up there, but
was this at Hotel Washington?
Yeah, Club de Wash. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else? But, you know, so I think, oh, like when I worked at summer camp, I think one of the guys who worked in, led the nature area, I think everyone gave him a second look or something, mm-hmm. just thought he was weird, and I probably never thought, he probably was gay, but I never thought about it or never thought about anything other than he was just weird. I think... It wasn't, you know, after college, after I discovered community theater, then it's like started meeting some more examples of gay people. Like, there was, like, one director that, you know, but these are, like, people in their 40s, like, way old, okay, that, you know, talked effeminately or something like that, but you never saw them dating another person or having a partner. I'm trying to think, like, when did I see a college age? Well, maybe towards the end of college, and there was, like, this one couple of gay guys that we knew, but they weren't anyone I was ever interested in, so I never pictured myself, like, being gay or something like that. But, yeah, just through high school, it wasn't prevalent. Nowadays, they all know, or, you know, my kids know, or in middle school, and you see gay characters on TV, and so it's not that hidden.
You said something about, like, the foster parent option for gay couples. Could you expand on that a little bit and, like, what the options are? Have you looked into that personally?
I haven't looked at too deeply. I know that there's this Midwest Families conference that they have in Minneapolis every year, and the first year I went, there were kind of two tracks, where one was more for, like, people who already had kids. And what are you going to do if you're going to marry somebody? What kind of legal deals are there? Or how are you going to deal with your own kids getting bullied about having LGBT things? But then there were a bunch of other tracks that were all about fertility. You know, if you want to, you know, artificial insemination or adoption or foster parenting and what other options there are, you know, marrying somebody who already has kids or something, you know, ways of obtaining kids. And they had, I think the guest speaker at one of these was some famous guy from LA Law, maybe, or something like that. I forgot his name. Who had, you know, was gay, and he adopted a kid. And he kind of was talking about his story. Or no, was it? I think actually it was in vitro, you know, surrogate mother or something. But so I know that the options are out there. It's not, you know, talked about too much, but if people want to know, there are, you know, there's lawyers in the Twin Cities that know more about it, what to do, and I think I haven't really looked that deeply at being a foster parent here. I don't think I would want to be a foster parent just by myself. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about even just doing, like, they have, you know, like, foreign exchange students or something like that come, you know, and go to the high school or something like that. And it's like, I would be uncomfortable doing that as a single person, whether the, you know, maybe with a female, it'd be okay. But then, I don't know, it would just be a little awkward or something. You know, maybe if I had a long, stable partner, then I could think about something like that. But, you know, it would be an enriching experience for my kids, but it's just like, I don't know. They might be really cute and I'd hit on them or something like that. Or they'd date somebody and I'd get in trouble or something. I don't know. Depending on their ages. But I don't know. Go ahead.
2 hours.
Okay. I rambled.
Which is totally good timing. I just wanted to let
you know. Oh, yeah.
I just have a few more questions.
Okay. Yeah. I'll quit rambling.
So you mentioned having a conversation with one of your partners about, like, open relationships. Do you feel like those are more accepting in the LGBTQ community than they are?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think they're more. They can recognize the difference between love and sex. At least, maybe over age 30, it's probably easier. Or somebody who's, you know, been divorced or whatever, has had a long-term thing and then is getting out of it. I think young kids, they want to go into life and find that one perfect person and live happily ever after. But I think the older people get, the more or the more they get around, if they're younger or something like that, the more realize, okay, there's roommate-type love, and then there's just playing around or something. And there's different kinds of open relationships. There's some where it's just, you know, one couple might just play with somebody else once in a while, or there might be, like, three people that live together and they all kind of give and take time with each other or something. Mm-hmm. It's when I was dating these younger people, I was thinking, oh, the only way I'm going to be able to keep these people or to think about, you know, letting them move in with me is if I say, okay, you have permission there to mess around. And because as I get older, it's like, you know, it's going to be inevitable or something, but maybe not necessarily. Now I'm thinking not necessarily, or if I want to avoid that, then I should just not date that young. You know, try to find somebody a little closer, you know, maybe, you know. I'm not dead yet, but
what do you think, or like, what differences have you seen in like the generations of the LGBTQ community? You say you've like dated younger, so do you see any differences with like somebody your age as opposed to somebody who's younger?
Yeah, I mean, I tried dating, you know, a couple dates with somebody my age earlier this year, and he had been divorced. I think a lot of it depends on whether they had were gay already for a long time, or if they've had stable relationships or not. I think like this guy, he was nice. He had kids, you know, kids similar to my age, and I think we would have clicked on a lot of just, you know, we could talk about old TV shows or stuff like that, but. And, you know, in general, the older population is looking for more stability, and, you know, they might not tolerate that open relationship. If they've been dating a long time, or you know, if they've messed around a lot in their 20s and now they're in their 30s and want to settle down, they might not even think of that. You know, I think some of the ones that I've talked to are just like, no, being open isn't an option for them. But there are some who I think wouldn't care. I don't know. Younger people, I think, you know, they think they know what they're doing, but then in the end, maybe they don't, or they're just insecure with themselves, and I was the same way, probably, or I would have been the same way, and it might be better for them to just stick with their own age ranges so that, you know, you learn your mistakes together, and I don't know, I'm trying to find more stability, but then, you know, also finding someone that I can be attracted to as well, and it's getting harder the older you get. And maybe my life will be like some of the older people that I know, that, you know, they might never date anyone again, but they're just content being, you know, good friends with a lot of people. You know, I don't know if they ever mess around anymore. They're just, you know, good friends and mentors, and you know, people look up to them in other ways.
You mentioned the Q2 with your sons while you were talking about them being in school. Do you know what that is, and could you expand a little bit on that?
I just know it's like a youth group. It used to meet at when they had the LGBT center at a church downtown. Q2 is like queer and questioning. I think that's what it stands for, and I think it's moderated by, you know, some slightly trained. Older people, or maybe some students that I have, usually women, that have had a little bit of counseling type education. I don't know what they do. I think they just meet Thursdays and talk, and maybe they watch a movie or something, some LGBT movie. It's probably evolved over time. Whoever's head of the LGBT Center, if you go to the website, the LGBT, Chippewa Valley, CVLGBT.org, I think is like the website where they're trying to still keep some links active. But I don't know what, you know, I think it's just a place for people to talk to other people.
How do you feel the relationship of the LGBT community is with the straight community here in Eau Claire?
I think it's fine. I don't see any evidence of any kind of bashing or, you know, negativity. I mean, I'm still scared to, you know, be too out with coworkers, but more it's because I don't want to embarrass them, or, you know, I'm not worried about being persecuted or started, you know, shunned or something like that. But I just don't want to unnecessarily embarrass people. Or something.
You mentioned those 5-minute stories with DeLovely. D. Lovely.
Oh, okay.
Could you expand on what that was? And were you, do you remember, when was that?
Yeah, you might be able to find them still on, I think it was, not channel 13, but the other channel 18, what is that, WMW, channel 18 is the channel, local channel, it's like W, but I don't know what their call letters are, but channel 18, Eau Claire, will get you the link there, and then you can click on video stories, and if you just search for D. Lovely, D-E-E space lovely, then, or LGBT, then you might find this little series. Because apparently, for a long time, it was like the top clicked thing, and still might be. And I think it was just some, you know, weekly, or you know, some special feature story that they were trying to do about the LGBT community here. And one episode focused just on D. Lovely, I think. And I don't remember too much about the other episodes. I think there was something about like a lesbian lady coming out, but I don't remember too much about it. I think it was well received in general. But,
And then my final question. I know you mentioned one resource for AIDS here in Eau Claire. Do you know of others, or is it just that one that allows free testing?
I mean, there's that, and then there's a Planned Parenthood, but I'm not sure if they do free testing there. They might do cheap STD testing. There might be something else on campus, but there's some kind of LGBT support things on campus, but I don't know them. I'm sure they don't do testing there. They probably just send you to this town's not that big, so it's not that far to get to the thing downtown.
Perfect. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
All right.
So this was Kara with Tony, and over and out.
Okay. Good luck. I don't know. So hopefully...